Lynn Hiles Ministries presents Dr. Lynn Hiles, That You Might Have Life. And here's your host, Dr. Lynn Hiles.
Welcome back to the program again this week. I trust you have been following this incredible series that we've been teaching on revisiting the book of Revelation. This to me is our number one requested material. And much of what we're doing can be viewed again. If you'd like, you can go back and revisit these videos on my YouTube channel and on my podcast. I know that when you're listening, I'm going so quickly, especially felt like in the last segment, I was trying to cover so much material that I was going so quickly that you probably think, I wish I could go back and watch them again. Well, you can, and you can pause them, because when you watch them on YouTube, you can pause them and you can take notes, and there's closed captioning there and all that. But the best way to do that would be to go to my website at lynnhiles.com. In the upper right-hand corner, there are icons that will take you directly to my YouTube channel, that will take you to our audio portion, which is the podcast, and then will take you also to an RSS feed for your Android device so that you can listen again. I have a lot more ground I want to cover in this segment, so we're going to jump right back into the Word. Last week, I read a lot of Scripture. I'm going to do that again this week. I trust it's not boring you, but I'm trying to show you the comparisons between the curses of Deuteronomy and the fulfillment of them in the book of Revelation, that this is primarily a Jewish book where God is keeping His end of the covenant bargain, and He told Moses what would happen in the latter days, and that all of these curses would come upon them. Let me read to you this verse, because this is what God told Moses before he died. This is Deuteronomy 31, verse 16 through 22. And then we're going to come back and again go a little further in the curses of Deuteronomy compared with the plagues and the trumpets and the vials and the judgments in the book of Revelation. We're going to see how they are exact fulfillments. And we're going to see that God told Moses this is what was going to happen in the latter end. And Moses this is Deuteronomy 31, verse 16, says, the Lord said to Moses, behold, thou shalt sleep with thy fathers. This people will rise up and go whoring after other gods of the strangers of the land, whither they go to be among them, and will forsake me and break my covenant, which I've commanded them. Now remember the indictment against great Babylon, the harlot city, which I've already shown you several ways, speaks of apostate Israel. We will cover that probably more even as we get to this city, that you will see that they went whoring after other gods, just like God told Moses they would. They're going to forsake me. They're going to break my covenant. Then my anger shall be kindled against them in that day, and I will forsake them. And I will hide my face from them, and they shall be devoured, and many evils and troubles shall befall them, so that they will say in that day, are not these evils come upon us, because our God is not among us? And I will surely hide my face in that day for all the evils which they shall have wrought in that they are turned unto other gods. Now, therefore, watch this. Write this song for you and teach it the children of Israel. Put it in their mouths that this song may be a witness for me against the children of Israel. For when I shall have brought them into the land which I swear unto their fathers that flows with milk and honey, and they shall have eaten and filled themselves and waxed in fat, then they will turn unto other gods and serve them and provoke me and break my covenant. And it shall come to pass when many evils and troubles are befallen them that this song shall testify against them as a witness. For it shall not be forgotten out of the mouths of their seed. For I know their imaginations which they go about even now before I brought them into the land which I swear. Moses therefore wrote this song the same day and taught it to the children of Israel. In Revelation 15, verse number 1, I'm going to turn over there and read that to you verbatim. I think we can get there. Revelation 15, and we're going to read to you from verse 1 through a few verses. Then I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues. For in them the wrath of God is complete. And I saw something like a sea of glass mingle with fire, and those who have gotten the victory over the beast, over his image, over his mark, over the number of his name, standing on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. Watch this. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty, just and true are your ways. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, you, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy, for all nations shall come and worship before thee, because your judgments have been made manifest. So they told Moses, sing this song, teach it to the people, so that when all of these plagues and all of the curses of Deuteronomy have come upon them, they're going to know that they have forsaken me, and all of this has come upon them because they have forsaken me, and I'm going to allow these things to come upon them. So they sang the song of Moses. What I want you to note is these are the last plagues. In them is filled up the wrath of God. This is the end of the old covenant bargain. These are not coming in our future because God has not appointed us to wrath. Secondly, when the scripture said, for the law worketh wrath, where there is no law, there is no transgression. So we are not under the wrath of God. We don't sing the song of Moses. Note this, they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are your works. So the song is two-dimensional. In the Old Testament, as they sing the song of Moses, the plagues are coming upon them. But if you see the song of the Lamb in Revelation chapter 5, they sang, as it were, a new song, singing, thou hast redeemed us. So for believers, the book of Revelation is what you've been redeemed from. You have been redeemed from the curse of the law, Jesus being made a curse for us. And that's why we apply the blood of the Lamb to the doorpost of our house, and we take the lamb in the house, roast with fire, we eat the whole lamb, and it makes us want to leave the bondage of Egypt, whatever kind of a bondage we are in. So as we begin to share those things last week, we started to compare the curses of Deuteronomy with the curses of with the fulfillment of them in the book of Revelation. And the last one we dealt with was that he said in verse number 53 of the book of Deuteronomy, I believe it is Deuteronomy, let me see here, Deuteronomy 28, I believe it is, Deuteronomy, let me go back here and see my notes, Deuteronomy 28, yes. We showed how the last one that was dealt with was that they would eat the fruit of their own bodies. Verse 53, thou shalt eat the fruit of thine own body, the flesh of thy sons and of thy daughters, which the Lord thy God have given thee in the siege and in the straitness, wherewith thine enemies shall distress thee. And then I read to you from the writings of Josephus, how there was a woman by the name of Mary. Her father was Eliezer of the village of Bethezob, and that she had gone to Jerusalem, but the soldiers would come and try to take everything she had and everything she had treasured up, all the food she had stored, until she was such in a miserable state that the story that I read to you last week was she killed her own son and roasted him and ate half of him and then offered the other half to the soldiers. And it was such a repulse to them that they immediately knew that this was a horrible thing, as it was so distressed. Let me just read the latter part of it. After those which those men went out trembling, after she had eaten half for herself, she said to them, do not pretend to be either more tender than a woman or more compassionate than a mother. But of you being so scrupulous and to abominate this my sacrifice, as I have eaten one half, let the rest be reserved for me also. After which those men went out trembling, being never so much affrighted at anything as they were at this. And with some difficulty, they left the rest of that meat to the mother, upon which the whole city was full of this horrid action immediately. And while everybody laid this miserable case before their own eyes, they trembled as if this unheard of action had been done by themselves. So those that were thus distressed by the famine were desirous to die, and those already dead were esteemed happy because they had not lived long enough either to hear or to see such miseries. This is from the writings of Josephus, the War of the Jews. And I got that from my study Bible and my database in my Bible software, so that you could see the fulfillment of they would eat the fruit of their own body. Now, I'm going to read to you again from Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 54, and we're going to continue these comparisons. Verse 54 says, "So that the man that is tender among you and very delicate, his eye shall be evil toward his brother and toward the wife of his bosom and toward the remnant of his children, which he shall leave, so that he will not give any of them of the flesh of his children whom he shall eat, because he hath nothing left in the siege and in the straitness, wherewith thine enemies shall distress thee and all thy gates." Remember, we just read that story about how they would eat the fruit of their own bodies. You talk about a horrendous and a terrible situation. It is because of their abandonment. God said, "I will turn my back on you." Now, some of the things that were happening to them were not direct results of God saying, "Okay, I'm going to do this to you," but a result of them walking away from God. And God said, "If that's what you want, then you're on your own." And then the enemies just ran rampant over them until there was such a famine that it was so repulsive that these things are being fulfilled, so that he will not give any of them of the flesh of his children whom he shall eat, because he hath nothing left in the siege and in the straitness wherewith thine enemy shall distress thee in all thy gates. The tender and delicate woman among you, which would not adventure to set the sole of her foot upon the ground for delicateness and tenderness, her eyes shall be evil toward the husband of her bosom and toward her son and toward her daughter and toward her young one that cometh out from between her feet and toward her children, which shall bear, for he shall eat them for want of all things secretly in the siege and the straitness wherewith thine enemy shall distress thee in thy gates. And if thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God, then the Lord will make thy plagues wonderful, and the plagues of thy seed, even great plagues, and of long continuance, of sore sickness, of long continuance. Moreover, he will bring upon thee all the diseases of Egypt, which thou wast afraid of, and they shall cleave unto thee." And in a prior segment, I took the plagues of Egypt and showed you there is a striking resemblance to those things being fulfilled once again in the book of Revelation. "And you shall be left few in number, for as you were as the stars of heaven for multitude, because thou wouldest not obey the voice of the Lord your God. And it shall come to pass that as the Lord rejoiced over you to do good and to multiply you, so the Lord will rejoice over you to destroy you and to bring you to naught, and you shall be plucked from off the land whither thou goest to possess it. And the Lord shall scatter thee among all people, from the end of the earth even unto the other, and there thou shalt serve other gods, which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, even wood and stone. And among these nations shalt thou find no ease, neither shall the sole of thy foot have rest, but the Lord shall give thee there a trembling heart, and a failing of eyes, and sorrow of mind. And thy life shall hang in doubt before thee, and thou shalt fear day and night, and shalt have none assurance of thy life. And in the morning thou shalt say, 'Would God it were evening,' and in the evening thou shalt say, 'Would to God it were morning,' for the fear of thine heart wherewith thou shalt fear, and for the sight of thine eyes which thou shalt see. And the Lord shall bring thee into Egypt again with ships by the way whereof I spake unto thee. Thou shalt see it no more again. And there shall you be sold unto your enemies for bondmen and bondwomen, and no man shall buy you." Deuteronomy 28, verses 18 through 29 declares, "Lest there should be any man among you a man or woman or family or tribe whose heart turneth away this day from the Lord your God to go and serve the gods of these nations, lest there should be among you a root that beareth gall and wormwood. And it came to pass, when he heareth the words of this curse, that he blessed himself in his heart, saying, 'I shall have peace, though I walk in the imagination of my heart and the drunkenness.'" That scripture is fulfilled in the book of Thessalonians when he said, "When they cry peace and safety, then comes sudden destruction as of a woman in travail." And actually, there was also a story of where there was a great sign that was given over the temple of a sword as it stood over the temple. And the people who misunderstood this sign thought it was a sign of favor that God was come to deliver them, but it was actually a sign of great trouble that was coming upon them, and they were crying peace and safety, but sudden destruction came upon them like a woman in travail. Let's go back to Deuteronomy, verse 20. The Lord will not spare him, but then the anger of the Lord and his jealousy shall smoke against that man, and all the curses that are written in this book shall lie upon him, and the Lord shall blot out his name from under heaven. And that's fulfilled, that text is fulfilled in verse number 5 of Revelation chapter 3. He that overcometh shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. We see later on in the book of Revelation, those whose names were not written in the book of life were cast into a lake burning with fire. And the Lord shall separate him unto evil out of all the tribes of Israel according to all the curses of the covenant that are written in this book of the law, so that the generations to come of your children shall rise up after you, and the stranger shall come from a far land shall say, when they see the plagues of the land and the sickness which the Lord hath laid upon it, and that the whole land thereof is brimstone and salt and burning. Watch that. Look at this terminology. This is Revelation terminology. And the whole land thereof is brimstone and salt and burning, that it is not sown nor beareth, nor any grass groweth therein, like the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah, Admah, Zeboam, which the Lord overthrew in his anger and in his wrath. That finds, a fulfillment in Revelation, the 14th chapter. The same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. These verses may have nothing to do with eternal conscious torment. They may have everything to do. Now, I'm talking about these particular verses may not have anything to do with what we normally think they might have. Maybe they are the fulfillment of these Old Testament, Old Covenant promises of wrath that was coming, because he's saying in Revelation 14, the same will drink of the wine of the wrath poured out without mixture, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels. That's in fulfillment of Deuteronomy, again, verse 23, and the whole land thereof is brimstone and salt and burning, that it is not sown, nor beareth, nor any grass, nor groweth like the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah. Remember, Jesus said it would be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than would be for apostate Israel. We find this same language used again in Revelation 21, verse 8, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and the sorcerers and the idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Revelation 11, verse 8, and their dead bodies shall lie in the street of this great city, which is spiritually called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. So again, we look at where Jesus is prophesying again these judgments, and he's talking about their bodies will lie in the street of the great city, which is spiritually called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. Well, our Lord was not crucified in Sodom or Egypt. Our Lord was crucified in Jerusalem. But he's drawing an analogy from these judgments that came upon places like Sodom and Egypt to what was coming upon Israel because of the covenant of Deuteronomy. He quotes this in Matthew 11, verse 23 through 24, when he says, and thou, Capernaum, which are exalted unto heaven, shalt be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained unto this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. Now he connects that also with the Olivet Discourse and Luke chapter 17 in verse number 29 through 30. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed it all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Now, let me tell you, he's prophesying that concerning and in the context of the Olivet Discourse, where he's talking about this judgment will come upon this generation. The generation standing right there was about to receive. And let me tell you that the same day that the children of Israel are the people that heard Jesus prophesy and say, when you see Jerusalem encompassed with armies, You better get out of Dodge. They went to a town called Pella, and fire and brimstone began to fall upon the apostate city again and began to destroy them all because the Son of Man was being revealed in this great day of atonement, and the judgments were coming upon them that God had promised would come upon them. But even that Olivet Discourse, he gave them another 40 years to repent, and still they repented not of their ungodly deeds which they had ungodly committed. Let's go back now again to Deuteronomy 29, verse 24. Even all nations shall say, wherefore hath the Lord done this unto this land? What meaneth the heat of this great anger? Then men shall say, because they have forsaken the covenant of the Lord God of their fathers, which he made with them when he brought them forth out of the land of Egypt. For they went and served other gods and worshipped them, gods that they knew not, and whom he had not given unto them. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against this land to bring upon it all the curses that are written in this book. And the Lord rooted them out of their land in anger and in wrath and in great indignation and cast them into another land as it is to this day. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. These are the blessings to the new covenant people of God. Note especially in verse 12 and Deuteronomy 30, and it shall come to pass when all these things are come upon thee, the blessing and the cursing that I've set before thee, that thou shalt call them to mind among all the nations whither thou go, the Lord thy God hath driven thee, and thou shalt return unto the Lord your God with all your heart and obey his voice according to all that I command thee this day, thou and thy children, with all thine heart, with all thy soul. Then the Lord will turn thy captivity and have compassion on thee, and will return and gather thee from all nations where the Lord has scattered thee. And if any man, if any of thine be driven out of the outmost parts of heaven, from thence will the Lord gather thee, and from thence will he fetch thee. Now he's fulfilling this promise in Matthew 24, verse 31. These again are the final days in the time slot of this generation will not pass away. The first century generation, Matthew 24 said he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. But this gathering is not just into a geographical location. This gathering is a gathering unto him and the true Israel of God, which was Jesus Christ himself. John chapter 11, verse 51 says, and this spake he not of himself, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for that nation, and not for that nation only, but that he would, but that also he should gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad. These are the fulfillments of the prophecy of the declaration of the book of Deuteronomy. Again, we find in Ephesians 1 that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are in earth, even in him. This gathering is not into a geographical location. It is a gathering into him. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. God's keeping his promise, but he's keeping it to gather them. The curses are being fulfilled, but now he's gathering them into the blessing. And the Lord thy God will bring thee into the land which thy fathers possessed, and thou shalt possess it, and he will do good to thee and multiply thee above thy fathers, and thou and the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart and the heart of thy seed to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, that thou mayest live. That finds its fulfillment in the New Testament in Romans chapter 2. Verse 28, for he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and the circumcision is that of the heart and in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. And the Lord thy God will put upon these curses upon thine enemies and upon them that hate thee. So he's telling them all the fulfillments again of circumcision of the heart would be found its fulfillment in the new covenant people of God who had a heart circumcision. He said, and the Lord thy God will put all these curses upon thine enemies and upon them that hate thee and persecuted thee. Thou shalt return and obey the voice of the Lord to do all his commandments, which I command you this day. And the Lord thy God will make thee plenteous in every good work of thine hand, the fruit of thy body, the fruit of thy cattle, the fruit of thy land. For the Lord will again will rejoice over thee for good, for as he rejoiced over thy fathers. If thou hearken unto the voice of your Lord to keep his commandments, his statutes, which are written in this book. And he goes on to say in verse number keep the commandments and statutes which are written in this book of the law, if thou turn unto the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, for this commandment which I command thee this day is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that you would say, who will go up for us to heaven, that is to bring it to us that we may hear it and do it. Neither is it beyond the sea that thou shouldest say, who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it. But the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thine heart, that thou mayest do it. Now, what I want you to do is see that in Deuteronomy, he says, here it is. I'm going to give you, who will go over the sea, that is to bring the words of this law to us that we may hear it and do it. Or who will go down into the deep, that is to bring up again the words of this law that we may hear it and do it. But Paul quotes that same verse in Romans 10, verses 6 through 10, when he says, but the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring down Christ from above, not the law, but Christ. Or who shall ascend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead, not go across the sea to bring the law, but to bring Christ again from the dead. But what saith thee? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thine heart. That is the word of faith that we preach. Not the word of the law, but the word of faith that we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and believe that in thine heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, when the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I want to tell you that what he's showing you is that under the old covenant, you had to keep every rule. And who will ascend to heaven? That is to bring the words of this law down to you. Or who will descend into the deep to bring the words of this law that we may hear it and do it? But in Romans chapter number 10, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness, because he did all of those things. And because he rose from the dead, you and I have been redeemed from the curse of the law. And we don't have the words of this law in our mouth. We have the word of faith that says, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you will be saved, because you have been redeemed from the curse of the law, Jesus Christ having been made a curse for us. I know that's quick, but we're out of time. If you'd like to support this ministry, like a sow a seed into it, please do that by going to my website at lynhiles.com. There's a place where you can give via our PayPal portal through your credit card or debit card. You could set up a monthly debit if you'd like to become a monthly partner with us. And we pray that you think about doing that, and because we do need your help. But if you can do that or give a one-time gift, we appreciate it. Also, you can send a check or a money order to the number that'll come on the screen, and someone will be able to receive that through the mail. But if you'd like to also make a call and call with your credit card, there's a number that'll be on the screen. If you don't get an answer, leave a message and we will return your call. God bless you. Join us again next week as we continue this study.
For anyone struggling to understand John's writings in Revelation, this book provides true, biblically based answers. Through detailed insights into the letters John wrote to the seven churches of his day, you will learn how to avoid the mistakes of the early church to overcome today's trials and tribulations. This book will provoke you to thought and dialogue, bringing greater clarity and revelation of Jesus Christ.